James chapter number 3 says, "My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which, though they be so great, are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth, and the tongue is a fire. A word of iniquity, so is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessings and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, even either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh." And Father, Lord, thank you for the book of James, Lord, and how practical and useful it is for us as Christians. Pray we can learn something from it tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. As you can see tonight, we're going to be learning about the tongue. I entitled my message tonight, "The World's Smallest but Largest Troublemaker." The world's smallest but largest troublemaker, the tongue, amen? And it can be useful, it can be dangerous. James explained to us two characteristics of mature Christians in the last two chapters. A mature Christian is patient in trouble, and he practices truth. And then tonight, he talks about the third one. He has the power over his tongue. A mature Christian has the power over his tongue. I heard of a lady who was a member of a church, and she was just the lady who loved to call up everybody on the phone and talk to everybody about all the different gossip in the church. She wanted to get information, give information, get information, give information. And she was known as the church gossiper. And she got convicted one night under a sermon and came down to the pastor and told him, "Pastor, I've been really convicted of my tongue. It's gotten the best of me." And she just said, she's just like, I want to get this right. And he said, "Well, what are you wanting to do?" And she said, "I want to lay my tongue on the altar." And he said, "I hate to break it to you, but there's not an altar big enough for that." I saw a church sign one time that said, "Gossip is the devil's radio. Are you his DJ?" That'll preach right there. Another man I heard about, he died and went to heaven. And Peter met him there, of course, at the pearly gates. And he said, "You need 2,000 points to get into heaven." He said, "All you have to do is tell me all the good things that you've done, and you'll get points for every one of them that you tell me. And when you add up, when they add up to 2,000 points," he said, "then man, you'll get into heaven." He said, "Well, that's great." He said, "All right, tell me your first thing." He said, "Well, I was married to my wife for 50 years, and I was faithful to her, was never unfaithful, 50 years. He said, "Man, that's awesome. That's 2 points. 2 points. He said, "Oh man." He said, "Well," he said, I attended church and I gave of my tithes for those 50 years as well." He said, "Well, that's pretty good. That's impressive." He said, "That's 1 point. 1 point. He said, "Wow, let me think here." He said, "Well, one time I donated my time," and he said, we started a soup kitchen and gave down to the homeless people, and I gave a bunch of my money towards that, and we helped a bunch of the hungry people down there in downtown of the city I lived in." He said, "Wow, that is fantastic. That is very caring of you." He said, "That's 2 points. 2 points? He said, "Good night. At this rate, the only way I'm going to get to heaven by is the grace of God." And he said, "That's what we're looking for. Come on in, man." Boy, our tongue can get us into trouble when we say the wrong things, right? But when we say the right things, good things happen. James here talks about Christians, and these Christians apparently had some serious problems with their tongues. Kind of sounds like modern day Christians, amen? We've got problems with the tongue, and every church you go to has got problems with the tongue, what people are saying, and it's caused a lot of problems, caused a lot of church splits. It's caused people to leave church because of the tongue. A lot of bad things have happened within a church, within a home, within a Christian school, within a friendship because of the tongue. But reverse that, good things have also happened because of the tongue in church and in a marriage and in a friendship and in a school. It can be used both ways. You get to decide how you're going to use it. I get to decide how I'm going to use it. We must speak and act as though we're already facing Christ in the judgment. Boy, if we talked all the time as if we're getting judged for it right then, right? We would speak differently. And James is trying to impress upon these people how powerful this small thing is and how powerful our speech is. It's one of the greatest powers that God has given us, be able to speak. Imagine being someone who could not speak. It's a gift to be able to get the opportunity to speak. And sometimes we overlook how gifted we are to have the opportunity to be able to speak. And we use it in the wrong way. We use it to lie. We use it to tell things we shouldn't talk about. We use it to say words we shouldn't say. But the ability to speak is the ability to influence others and accomplish tremendous things for the Lord if we use it the right way. In order to impress on the importance of controlled speech and the great consequences of our speech and our words, James, he gives six pictures in this chapter. He gives us six pictures of the tongue. He gives us the bit, the rudder, or the helm, you can call it, a fire, a poisonous animal, a fountain, and a fig tree. So he gives us those six things that he's comparing to the tongue. And I believe you can kind of break those down into three categories. So there's six of them. Two of them kind of each go together. And so I believe there's three. The first one tonight is power to direct. Power to direct. And that is with the bit and the rudder. The bit and the rudder. Apparently everybody in this assembly wanted to teach and be a spiritual leader. James had to warn them in verse number one. He says, "Be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation." Perhaps they wanted the authority, they wanted the positions, they wanted the offices, they wanted to be a preacher or a teacher, but they didn't realize that there's greater judgment for those who hold those positions. When you are teaching other people, or you're preaching to other people, or you're a leader in a way, you've got a huge responsibility upon yourself that God has given you. And what you say is very important. What you study, what you prepare for is very important. The unprepared teacher, the unprepared preacher is not a teacher or preacher that anyone should listen to or someone that God can use. We also, when we teach things or we preach things, we have to live those things out. How hypocritical are we if we say one thing and do a different thing? Kids are pretty smart. What we teach them at home, as parents, we've got to follow those things. We can't say one thing and do a different thing. I learned that early on when I started having kids. You're saying something, you're like, wait a second, I'm not quite doing that. Stink. And it starts being convicting. And you realize you can't live a double standard as a Christian. You can't live a double standard as a parent. Can't live a double standard as a teacher or a preacher of God's word. And these people wanted those things. They wanted to be in those positions, but didn't understand the importance of them. And James is talking to them about the power of this thing right here called the tongue. In verse number two, he says, "For in many things we offend all." Our tongue can get us into trouble. It can get us into things that we don't want it to get into, but it can get us into saying things and doing things that we probably wouldn't want to do. You may ask the question, is James making a mistake by connecting the tongue with the body? The whole act. Well, I would say no, because this can get yourself into trouble, your body into trouble. When someone with a temper says something, and next you know they're into a fight, they're having to defend themselves, now their body is connected to what they said, correct? And there's many ways that we could talk about that. But they are connected, because usually when you say something, it requires an action, right? And a lot of things that we say require actions with them as well. And James is trying to teach them that there's a few ways that we can use as examples. He says, for instance, he's talking about, in verse number four, he talks about the rudder. And then he also talks about the bit in a horse's mouth. James presents both of these and shows how much great power they have, even though they're small. You think of the horse's bit and how small that is on a mighty animal like a horse. You think of a rudder at the bottom of a boat in the back and how small that is, yet how massive a ship is Have you ever seen some of those massive ships that the military uses, or a cruise ship, and you see how small of the rudder in the back is that's steering that whole thing? It's unbelievable. But something small can be used to do something great. And the same thing is true about our tongue. Both the bit and the rudder must overcome contrary forces. The bit must overcome the wild nature of a horse. How many of you have ever ridden a horse before? I've ridden a horse. I can't say I'm a great horseback rider, but I've ridden a horse before. But I can tell you that with little experience, I learned a little bit how to control that horse. And I learned that that bit allows you to have, as the rider, allows you to have the power to control that horse, as long as it's a good horse, right? If the horse is going to buck you off, you're probably not going to do you much good. But it has a lot of power. The same thing is true for the helm or the rudder. It has to overcome the wind and the sea and the storms out there that it has to overcome. And our tongue has to overcome a lot of things as well, contrary things. It's a constant battle. You've heard the phrase before that you have to bite your tongue or to hold your tongue and not say certain things. It happens all the time. Think of your marriage and your spouse. This appears thinking something and it wants to say something, but the wise you decides, no, I'm not saying that. No, I'm not saying that, right? All the time. If you're wise, that should happen, all right? If you're dumb, you just let the mouth do whatever it wants and you just say whatever it wants. But if you're wise in marriage, boy, you get that thing under control, because not everything that's thought up here should be said. Can I get an amen? Go ahead, give me an amen. Come on. Get some points right now, all right, with your spouse, all right? You shouldn't say everything, all right, that comes into this mind or in this brain up here, because some mean things can come, and sometimes when we're upset, we may be thinking the right thing, but we don't always communicate it the right way, if you know what I mean. You think the right thought, should be done like this, or he should have done this, or man, she should have done this, and yes, that may be true, but the communication with this small thing in the tongue can be used the wrong way, boy, when you speak it out. There's ways to go about that. Ways to use your tongue. Ways to not say certain things. And James, to these Christians, is trying to emphasize that you're controlling your life, you're controlling your temper, you're controlling your attitude with your tongue. You're controlling this body of yours with a small thing called the tongue. The same is true for both this bit and the rudder. The Bible says in Proverbs, you'll see in Proverbs the tongue is used all the time. It says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. It's no wonder David prayed the prayer, set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. Incline not my heart to an evil thing. And then also in Matthew, in Matthew, it says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. When Jesus Christ is in your heart, he is the Lord of your lips, all right? And he can't help us. Like we read earlier, that the Bible says that we can't tame the tongue. You cannot tame your tongue on your own. You need the Lord's help, and it's a daily battle that you've got to ask the Lord to help you with. Some people deal with a temper. Other people do not. If you deal with a temper, then that's something that you've got to overcome with the Lord's help. That's something that when you have a temper, I've dealt with young people from our bus ministry. I can think of some people right now, some young people that came from the bus ministry and then got into our Christian school, but they had a temper. The reason they had that temper was because, boy, their dad left them. They didn't know who their dad was in their life. And then their mom left them and they got adopted by somebody else. They had all this anger inside, bitterness inside. And boy, someone could say one certain thing, one little thing, and boy, they could just explode. And they would say hurtful things and mean things to friends and people that cared about them. And they'd say things to me. And I knew they didn't mean it because they cared about these people, but their anger got the best of them. They lost control of the tongue, if you say. They lost control of it. And because of that, mean things were said. Mean things are said to friends in anger. Mean things are said to our spouse or our children when we are angry and upset. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. I believe that if you're right with the Lord, right things will come out of your mouth. When you're not right with the Lord, you'll say things that you shouldn't say. You'll say words you shouldn't say. But boy, when you're filling yourself up with God's word, and you have that daily communication with God, and that relationship with God is getting stronger and stronger, I believe that what comes out of here is what God wants to come out of here. I believe he will help guide you when you talk. I believe that if you get close to him, it's hard for you to say things you shouldn't say. And you'll hold back. You'll bite the tongue, like we said earlier, when you want to say something you shouldn't say. Just remember, your tongue has the power to lead people to Jesus. But it also has the power to lead people away from Jesus. Number two, power to destroy. He uses the fire and the animal. Go to verse number 5. It says, even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature. And it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and of things on the sea is tamed, hath been tamed of mankind, but the tongue can no man tame, if any unruly evil full of deadly poison. Our words can start fires. They can start fires. Where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. So where there is no tiller, the strife ceaseth. As coals are to burning coals and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindled strife, Proverbs chapter 26 says. In some churches, there's people that can't control their tongue. And because of that, it hurts other people within the church. Going to church my entire life, being a pastor's son, being a staff member now for many years, I have seen people who came to church for a very, very long time because simply someone said something that hurt their feelings or said something that hurt them deeply. Is that a good reason to leave a church? Absolutely no. But your job, my job as a Christian, is not to worry about that. Our job is to worry about ourselves and what we say. Yes, that may not be a good reason to leave a church, but you never know what someone's going through. They may not be where they need to be spiritually in their life, but they sure can get there. But they're not going to get there if you use your words the wrong way, if you speak out in a way that shouldn't be said, if you spread gossip in a way that shouldn't be spread. We can spread gossip all day long about other people, all day long. It's not hard to find fault. We could go through the room and everybody could say, oh, this person did this, or they do this, or they say this all the time, or they live like this. Boy, we could just go on and on about everybody's problems. But at the end of the day, it's going to be full circle because someone's going to say something about us. Because we all have problems. We all have mistakes. We all have things that we struggle with. And the last thing we need, the thing that's not going to help us get over those, is when other people gossip about them and when things get spread. Sometimes we struggle with something and it's maybe something private that you don't want the whole world to know about. Something that you're working with God to try to get out of your life or to improve upon in your life. And you want to keep that maybe between you and a friend or someone else. And when someone else ruins that trust and starts spreading that, it can hurt deeply. And I'm sure it's happened to many of us in this room. I'm sure everybody in this room has had something said about them that was hurtful. In school, you think of bullies that say things that are very mean and hurtful. I saw a video of a dad who his daughter was on a school bus. And I don't know if this man was a Christian or not, but his daughter got in trouble because on a school bus she was bullying some other kids and saying some very hurtful things, and this dad could not stand his kids being a bully. And so they lived 5 miles from the school, and he had his daughter walk to school, and he drove behind her the entire way, 5 miles to school in 36-degree weather. He said, I want my daughter to learn we don't put up with this. So if you do this again, we'll do this tomorrow. I thought to myself, that's the last time that girl's ever going to be a bully to somebody else. I don't care who you are. You're learning your lesson that day. The tongue is a powerful thing. Like a fire, the tongue can heat things up. David wrote, I said, I will take my heed to my ways that I sin not with my tongue. My heart was hot within me while I was musing, the fire burned. Then spake I with my tongue. You've heard that people have had tempers. David had a temper, and he had to have God's help in controlling it. And Solomon later wrote in Proverbs, he that hath knowledge spareth his words, and a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. And then Proverbs 14:29 says, He that is slow to wrath is of great understanding, but he that is hasty of spirit exalteth folly. Boy, if you just read through Proverbs every single day, there's a reason I'm reading a lot of Proverbs, because, boy, it teaches you how to control this thing. It teaches you how to control your temperament. Teaches you how to control your attitude and your mindset if you just read it every single day. That's why so many preachers and pastors have always taught, boy, try to read one proverb at least a day. Get it. You can't read it enough. It just is a constant daily reminder. Do this. Don't do this. Do this. Don't do this. Stay away from this. Go here. Don't go here. Boy, it's just constant reminder of the ways that God wants us to live, and it gives us the answers if we just stick to it, if we just follow it. It's not easy. It takes work. The whole Christian life is work, but it's worth it in the end. We're here today in church tonight because we know it's worth it. Amen? We know the Christian life is worth it. We know that God's blessings are worth it. We've experienced them. We would not be in church today, 5, 10, 15, 20 years later, down the road in our lives, if we didn't know that God was real, if we didn't believe that God came through on his promises. God comes through on his promises when we follow what he tells us to do. It's not hard to listen to God's word. It's hard to actually implement it into our... It's hard to put the actions into word. Fire not only starts small, but it grows and creates heat. Fiery words can defile a home, a Sunday school class, a church, a friendship. The only thing that can wash away that defilement is the blood of Jesus. Not only is the tongue like a fire, but it's also, the Bible says here, like a dangerous animal. It is restless, and it can't be ruled. A wild animal is not something you want to mess with. We just recently, right before I came, moved here in June, went to Mexico on a missions trip with our former youth group there at Regency. Believe it or not, we went on a safari guide in Mexico, right? African safari guide was one of the activities we did for fun there in Mexico. But it was a drive-through one, and I'd never been on one of those before, and literally just drove in your car, and you were surrounded by animals. Literally, lions could come right up to the car the whole time. And every animal you could think of, hippopotamuses, just everything. There was no fences anywhere. Just you drove through sections. So the animals were kind of sectioned off. And so you had certain animals with each other, but you'd go through a gate. And you go, the lions were laying right next to our windows. They had signs everywhere, though, that said you couldn't put your window down and you should not open your door. Common sense, right? But we had a teenager who thought he would just open the door up, and not when we were by the lions, but when we were by some of the other animals, like, what are you doing, dude? These are not friendly, all right? These are wild animals. Just because they're here at this park that's California kids for you, all right? They don't know much about wildlife. And we're just like, what are you doing? But they're dangerous, and wild animals are not to be friends. You go to this feline rescue center over here. I've even been to that before. boy, you just... Don't put your finger through there, right? Don't put your finger through there. Danger, right? Stay away. We had a dog that lived next to us, and they had one of those chain link fences out in their front yard. And the dog, it was like a bulldog. And boy, this dog just, everybody that came by, big old burly dog, and just would bark. Everybody that came by, he was the meanest looking dog. I didn't want to touch him. Right? I was never going by him. And my kids, though, Cody, stuck his hand through the fence to pet him, and I about dropped, thinking he was going to lose his hand. And that dog just licked his hand up. Thought, what? What is going on here? You're not supposed to be playing with that wild animal over there. That went contrary to what the Bible's talking about right here. It was deceiving. That animal thought he was tough, but he really wasn't. But the Bible here is talking about dangerous animals, and that our tongue can be like a dangerous animal. It can be wild. It can be something that is not controlled. You think about church. Would we turn loose a lion or snakes into the church house? Absolutely not, because it's extremely dangerous. Poison is within a snake. I don't care if a snake is this big or this big. I am freaked out of snakes, all right? It's just something within me that just my body freezes up. Call me whatever you want. I don't care. It doesn't matter. I just want to stay away from them. And some people have pulled some jokes before with some fake ones and stuff. Man, I can't do the whole, those nice snakes that you put around your neck and,
My sister did that one time. We were on a senior trip, and I was with them, and her and my cousin, they both did that, this huge old snake, and I was just behind them. The head was on the other side, and I'm behind them. Just, they kept trying to tell me to touch the skin, and I, like, barely touched the skin, about passed out, freaked out. I've got a fear of snakes, and I shouldn't tell you my fears like that, get myself in trouble. I didn't put that in my notes for a reason, so I don't know why we went there. But snakes, they are, the reason why I said that is because people always are telling, that's not a poisonous snake. I don't care if it's poisonous. It still could bite me, all right? I don't want to get bitten by anything. And but some can carry poison, and our words can be very poisonous. Our words can be poison. And James is using these examples to kind of paint a picture for us, paint a picture for how powerful. There's endless examples of how we can compare our tongue to things. And he's comparing them here to fire, and how dangerous fire can be, and how dangerous a wild animal can be. Thirdly tonight, power to delight. This is the last one tonight, power to delight. And he talks about the fountain and the tree. The fountain and the tree. The fountain, of course, provides cool water. Speaking of which, I need some of that right now. Anyway, how many are fighting this cold that's going around? Anybody fighting the cold? My mouth's been dry, coughing and stuff. And water, in Oriental countries, a presence of a fresh water fountain is a great blessing to a village. And it's something that if someone ever does something like that for them, and out, not of course in the cities, but out in the villages, out in the rural areas, when someone brings a fountain or digs a well for them, is a great blessing for them to be able to get to have that fresh water for them, because most of the time they don't have fresh, clean water. And water can be used for drinking, washing, cooking, farming, and many, many, many other things that we could talk about with water. But the Bible says in Proverbs, the words of a man's mouth are as deep waters, and the wellspring of wisdom as a flowing brook. The mouth of a righteous man is a well of life. The law of the wise is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. These verses parallel what James has written and he's talked about. And all throughout Proverbs, you'll find that. I use those verses, but you could use many verses in Proverbs to kind of compare or parallel with what James is trying to teach here. And however, water that is not controlled can bring forth destruction. When you go to the water fountain and get some water, you don't fear a flood. You don't fear danger because it's controlled water. But water that is not controlled is something that can bring death. People have lost their homes. People have lost their lives. People that live in Florida and those states over there, huge storms come through and water can destroy things. Water can be a blessing and it can be a destroyer. And James is saying the same is your tongue can be a blessing to people. Think of the words of encouragement you can say to people. How many of you love encouragement? You love when people say encouraging things to you, when they're there for you, when times are tough, and when your family maybe is going through a tough time, or you personally are going through a tough time, and a word talks to you in words of encouragement, sends things to you, says things to you that just encourage you. Those things are what we love. The opposite is when someone says things that are hurtful. And the most dangerous time is when we are already hurting and someone says those hurtful things to us. We've got to be very mindful of the words that come out of our mouth. God gives us 24 hours in a day. In those 24 hours, we get to decide, how am I going to talk? How am I going to use my words today? It takes a conscious effort to be a blessing to somebody with your words. It doesn't take much effort to think of negative things. It takes work within your marriage. It takes work to find ways to be there for your spouse, for your wife, your husband. It takes work to think of things to do for them, correct? It takes work. And it doesn't just one time you do it and you're good. It's all the time that you're working on it. And your mouth, when your relationship, when you're talking, can be very hurtful or can be very beneficial to your marriage. And if you have a healthy relationship, it's because you both have learned how to control your tongue. If you have an unhealthy relationship, it's because this thing's not under control. It's like a wildfire. It's like water that's not controlled, the Bible says. But it's like something that The Bible says that if it's not controlled properly, will bring destruction into your home, bring destruction into your life. Bible says in Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. It also says, there is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the sword of the wise is health. If you and I are going to learn how to control our tongues and have delight with our words, then we must meet with the Lord every day. It's not hard. Wake up every day. Grab that Bible. The Bible should be the first thing that you open up in your day. A devotion. Get something out of God's word. When you start your day out like that, you want to talk about good things. You want to think of good things. But when you start out, because the first thing we talked about this last week, you wake up and you're grumpy, in a bad mood. Unless you get your coffee, right? Then all of a sudden you're in a good mood and you're ready to roll for the day. But boy, you get God's word in your mind and his word, you're processing it all the time. I went through a period of time, I haven't done it in a while, but I went through a period of time where I carried some 3x5 cards with some verses, and boy, I would just pull out a verse every now and then and just read about that verse. And I would just kind of meditate upon that verse throughout the day. Boy, when you've got God's word in your mind and in your heart, boy, when you've got it there, it's hard to think of sinful things. It's hard to not have a pure heart. When you have those things in your mind and in your heart, it's pretty easy to think godly things. It's pretty easy to want to do right in your life. It's pretty easy to get convicted when you do something wrong. But when you get away from the Lord and you just play the church thing and you come to church and you sit in the pew and you hear God's word preached and all you do is just do what the typical Christian does and you're just doing these things rather than living these things and letting them fulfill your life from the inside out, you're going to get away from the Lord. Your tongue's going to get out of control. It's going to bring destruction into your home. It's going to bring destruction into your life. And you're going to lose control of this thing that God's given you called life. God's given you something that is precious. We say that when we have a child, a baby, boy, that life is precious to us. Your life is precious to not only you, but to others around you. It's precious to your family. When you mess up your life and you make wrong decisions in your life, they never just affect you. They always affect others around you. If you have children, they're going to affect your children. If you have a spouse, they're going to affect your spouse. If you have friends, they're going to affect your friends. If you have parents, they're going to affect your friends. You think about the child who goes to trial over something that they did, whether it's murder or whatever it was, and then they have to go to prison. Do you think it only affects just that person? It affects those parents. Those parents are heartbroken. No matter what a child does, a child could murder somebody, and they'd still be heartbroken that they don't get to see their kid, or that the only way they ever get to see their kid is behind glass, behind those bars. That's the only way they ever see them. Because love is powerful. And our words, our tongue, is very powerful. It can hurt others around us if we're not careful with it. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. As we fill our hearts with God's word and with the Holy Spirit, we'll bring delight to others. We'll be refreshing to others. We'll be someone who people want to be around. We'll be like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water, amen? We'll be someone who actually can do something for the Lord. Yes, the smallest, but the largest trouble is, or the smallest thing in our body is the tongue, but it's something that can be either a troublemaker or it can be something that can be used for God's glory. It's a little member, but it has great power. Give God your tongue tonight. I pray that we could have gone a little farther, but for sake of time, I think the first time I went, I think took a little longer, so I'm going to give you a little shorter tonight. But tonight, I think I've got it across. James got it across tonight, the tongue. And be mindful of the things you think. When you come to church, think of something that you can do for someone else with your words. Think of someone you can compliment. Think of someone you can say thank you to somebody. Find ways to be encouraging with your tongue. Don't just come to church. Come to church to be a blessing to somebody else. We get the privilege to be around each other all the time. We're friends. We get to be around each other, whether we want to be or not sometimes, right? But we get to be around each other, and we can help each other, encourage each other. And our words can do a whole lot for us if we will use them the right way. Let's pray. Dear Father, thanks so much for the book of James. And boy, there's just so much in here and so much help that we can get from it as Christians. And sometimes it may seem simple, like the tongue seems like a simple thing, but it is
a challenge. Lord, it's hard. It takes a good relationship with you to have it under control, to get it in a place that it needs to be. And Lord, I find that when I get away from you, Lord, I find that I start saying things that I shouldn't say or hurtful things. And Lord, I pray that you would help me in my life to keep getting closer to you so that my speech can be always with grace and that I can talk the way that you want me to talk to my children, Lord, and to my wife and to people here at church and friends and family members, Lord. I pray that I wouldn't be known as somebody who talks out of anger all the time, but someone who talks that is someone who's close to the Lord. And I pray if there's someone here tonight that is struggling with that, that you would help them and encourage them to get past it with your help. In Jesus' name.